We turn to four portions today. First one is in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause a trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Okay, then we turn to Leviticus 16. Leviticus chapter 16. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the Holy of Holies, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. Numbers 35, verse 27. Numbers 35, 27. And the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer. He shall not be guilty of blood. Okay, then in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
You may be seated. Emmanuel, when you went into the Chikilenta, how is the building coming up? Is it okay? Is it coming up, the building? Okay, there is a building plan in Chikilenta. I don't know if they have the picture here to show you. And I think it costs some 8 lakhs or something to put it up. And I just told Pastor Timothy, I'm just believing God by faith that that can happen. After this service, you're going to collect an offering and you put all your jewelry and everything inside. No, I'm kidding. But that's a great place. It's in the center of all the adjoining villages. And if they get a building come up there, then they can have a permanent place of habitation. And we can go and we can stay there. It's beautiful, but God does not just want the sinner to be delivered from a state of condemnation only. God wants the sinner to be brought from a place where his sin condemns him before God to a place where he can become more than a conqueror. If a person were to be vindicated by law in a courtroom, he would go out as one that has been forgiven. Right? Are you with me? Are you excited? Yes or no? You must live, you and I, we go through things, but must live here on earth just as the saints are in heaven. That's what 1 Peter 1:8 says. 2 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1:8, 2 Peter 1:8. As I grow older, 1 Peter is Peter, 2 Peter is his twin brother. When I come out of a courtroom vindicated, having been proven to be righteous when I am guilty, at best, I have a mentality of being forgiven. I cannot have a mentality of being an overcomer. In the New Testament economy of grace, God does not want us to be just delivered from a state of condemnation and guilt as a result of us being declared to be righteous before His presence as a result of the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary through His shed blood. He wants you to have the mentality of not being a victim or a person that is living in a state of condemnation, even though you are declared righteous before His presence. But He wants you to be in a place where you start making decisions to live like you are more than a conqueror. Okay, the message is over. You can go home. Okay. My decision as a Christian on a day-to-day basis will determine whether that is true of what God has said of me or not. My decision as a Christian will determine whether that is true of what God has said or not. That means from time to time, the guilt that plagues the conscience will try to usurp its authority above the declaration of the fact and the verdict that was secured for us on Calvary. You are not going to read your notes when you go home. I want you to see something. I have listed from some of the resources, and I wanted to read it, but it would take a lot of time. I have 81 references of the sins of the believer being forgiven. I'll make a Xerox copy and give it to you. If the Lord permits, we will do it. Is Santosh here? Maybe he can kind of order the lunch for us after the service if we are delayed. He has magical ways by which he makes things come to pass. That's why he's greatly appreciated. In the book of Leviticus, the book of Leviticus is a book where God speaks from inside the tent. He speaks from inside the tent. Tent is always symbolic of communion, dwelling. The book of Leviticus is a book that deals with a believer's relationship with God. Because he has been brought into that relationship with God through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is typical in the Old Testament in sacrificial form, and the tabernacle and the priesthood. And so in the book of Leviticus, he is given instructions how to stay within the parameters of that fellowship being maintained so as to not become defiled in such a manner so as to have loss of communion. Is that clear? So in the book of Leviticus, there are very specific laws. There are many dietary laws, sanitary laws, all kinds of laws, very helpful actually to medical science. Happened way back in the past. And they used some of those things when there were different plagues and epidemics, and they found out from the book of Leviticus that these quarantine, laws of quarantine, were actually essential in order for these to arrest the viruses, etc., of these plagues. But that is not the point. The issue here is God has, through Jesus Christ, done for us all that is necessary, not only to have our sins forgiven and to remove us from the state of condemnation and guilt and shame, but to be in a place where we stay within the parameters of the communion that He has with His Son, Jesus Christ, by which you and I are brought into the fellowship of that communion. When Jesus Christ was born, the angels made a declaration in the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter. They made a declaration, glory to God in the highest. And if our angel that was given to us at the point of salvation, we have two angels, one given to every child born into this world in Matthew 18, one the angel given to you at the point of salvation, they are constantly fighting with each other, but they are not sinning as they fight. I don't know how that works. No, we are protected whether we like it or not. We are protected even though we do not know about the fact that we are protected. We are protected. And imagine that angel that has been given stewardship of who we are, looking at us as sinners saved by grace and learning things they would have otherwise not learned, even though they are more superior and powerful than we are, because grace is given to us in time to glorify God. Grace is given to us in time to glorify God, just not to overcome sin. Let me say it again. Grace is not just given to us in time to overcome sin. Grace is given to us in time to glorify God. Sometimes people receive grace as they receive their rations with their ration card. You know, you have only, you know, in the old days we had a ration card. It was very important. Today it is your Aadhaar card. Today it is your, what is it? What else is there? PAN card. All these cards, you know, are there so that people can hack into it. Ration card was important. You have your, you know, kilos of rice. You couldn't go to the ration shop and demand something more than what was the quota that came through the public distribution system. Many believers live their lives because they have decided, I've already sinned for the day. Therefore, my quota of grace for the day is. In the house, we talk like that. You already messed up in the morning. Make sure that if you mess up in the evening, you don't mess up tomorrow. So there is this accumulation. There is this accumulation that takes place in our lives. There are these, and this accumulation that takes place is a result of many standards and measures that are imposed upon us, wherein which God has never imposed these measures and standards upon our lives. I want to show you something that is very important for us today. The Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16 and the Year of Jubilee fell on the same day. Was it coincidental that these two things, now you're in a church, you're learning the word of God, I'm not going to tell you stories that our children learn in kindergarten. When you look at the scriptures and you glean from it, every portion of the word of God in the Old Testament is a reflection and a revelation of the atonement, the person and work of the Son. Every detail, the Father's purpose was to reveal the Son, the Son's purpose was to glorify the Father, and the Spirit purpose is to bring us into the realm of that glory. What is it? The Son's purpose was to reveal the Father. The Father's purpose was to reveal the Son to redemption, and the Spirit's purpose, the Son came to glorify the Father. The Father wanted to reveal the Son, and the Spirit now brings us into that place of glory. What does it mean? To bring us into the place of glory. It means to bring us into the place where we can reflect what would never otherwise have been possible if you and I were not recipients of grace. Let me say it again. To be in the place today of such a high privilege so as to reflect the glory of God. Glory means reflected nature. Where it would not have been possible for us as believers to be in the place where we reflect it apart from being in the place where we are recipients of the grace of God. Now, Louis Berry Schaeffer in his book said this. It would not have been possible for God to reveal His grace if there were no objects of grace that He would reveal His grace to. It would not have been possible for... Are you awake? It would not have been possible because the level of concentration is so high. Sometimes I don't know if you have gone to sleep. Because when you sleep, your level of concentration is very high. There would have been no opportunity for God to reveal His grace if there had been no objects of grace. But there would have been no objects of grace if there were no sinners by which grace could save them. You understand that? Put the two and two together. So you and I, because we are perfect, because we are sinners by nature and we are sinners by practice, God took us from being sinners by nature and practice to being saints. So now we are sinning saints. And He makes us to be objects of His grace. We would never be people that would be objects of His grace unless we were sinners by which grace could save us. Now the very objects of grace that were once sinners and continue to be have an opportunity to reflect the glory of God for which purpose the grace of God was given. So every time you are in a place where you understand this and you become a recipient and you receive the grace of God to grow in His nature, you at some point of time as being a recipient of that grace will be called into a plan to manifest that grace that you have received, whether you are aware of it or not. The purpose of it is so that God would be glorified through you. Apart from you, He is not glorified. God is self-sufficient in Himself. In Himself, He's self-sufficient. But now God has the opportunity through objects of grace, such as you and me, to be glorified. Which glory is possible? Because His Son Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross and shed His blood for us. This is typified in the Old Testament, even though it was done to Israel as a nation. It has its application for us in the New Testament as believers. To them it was in shadow form. To us it is in substance. You know, in the old days, not now. But it's possible the old days could come back again. You go to a movie, as a gift of grace, they show you a trailer of the next movie that is coming. All the best worldly parts, I have to add that, are in that trailer. You see the trailer, you're excited because in 5 minutes it was so dynamic. Then you go to the movie based on the trailer and realize those were the only 5 minutes that were exciting. So they edit today. There are 8,000 and some promises of the Bible. So instead of reading all the 66 books in 1 year, Read only the promises of the Bible. The believer enters into an edited lifestyle. What does he edit? The pain, the suffering, the adversity. He wants to edit all these things because he believes that those are the things that will actually limit himself in his walk with God, when actually those are the things by which he will glorify God. Pain, suffering, adversity, trying circumstances, illnesses, sicknesses, all these things that are allowed to come to us from the hand of God are opportunities for us to be recipients and objects of God's grace through which he would be glorified. Amen? Are you awake? Third time I'm saying this. There's a reason. Now let's go. So listen to this. So Aaron would do something unique. You know what he would do? In Leviticus 16, verses 23, when he went into, now remember, he would go in for himself first and his family with the blood of the ox, the bull, and then he would go with the blood of the goat and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. You can read it in Leviticus 16. But this is the thing. When he went to present the blood on the mercy seat, which was what God required once a year, he would put on his linen garments. What is it? He would put on his linen. Now the garments of the priesthood are given in Exodus 28, and the sacrifice is mentioned in Exodus 29. In God's plan, God always meets the sin of the the needs of the sinner, and he always at the same time satisfies his just demands as he meets the needs of the sinner. What is it? He satisfies himself, and at the same time he meets the need of the sinner. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and he shed his blood, he satisfied the just demands of a holy God that was very wrathful, if I can use that term, at sin. And in Jesus Christ satisfying his Father in relationship to his holiness, satisfied it, at the same time met the need of the sinner that was condemned before a holy God, whose sin condemned him, therefore bringing a sinner into a place from where he was separated from the presence of God into a place where he has the boldness thereof to come, in Hebrews 4:16. So, once Aaron presented the sacrifice, offered the blood, sprinkled the altar of incense, he came out, he washed himself, because everything that is associated with sin, whether the person sins or doesn't sin or is associated with someone that sins, needs cleansing in the Old Testament. So you will see in Leviticus 16 that the one that took the goat into the wilderness and left him there, and the one that took the goat out to be burnt outside the camp, both needed to be washed, because anything that is associated with the atonement brought some measure of defilement. Therefore, they needed both to be washed. Very interesting. So this thing in Leviticus about cleansing and washing and purification is constantly mentioned. But this is the thing. Aaron took off his linen garments, which are symbolic of everything done for the believer purely based upon the merits of Christ. Linen is cotton, mull, white, soft. In summer when you wear it, it's amazing. It doesn't absorb light, it reflects it. White, purity. White speaks, linen speaks of righteousness. Everything that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary was on purely on the basis of his own righteousness. Therefore, the word of God says in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, right up to 3:23, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none. There is none that seeketh God. There is none that does good. Sometimes we want to put our hands up and say, but God. Yeah, but God being rich in mercy. In 2, 4 to 6 of the book of Ephesians. Everything done was on the basis of his own righteousness. On the basis of his own righteousness. Therefore, that righteousness now that is only Christ is available to the believer purely on the basis of grace. It is a grace gift. Righteousness is a grace gift given to the believer at the point of salvation. Now, what happened? When Aaron came back and he put on his robes, those robes were called robes of glory and robes of beauty. That is the robe. Those are the robes that represent us before God in relationship to a work that is finished. The linen robes are the robes that Christ is the righteousness that Christ has, inherent righteousness, which is his own, that was the only basis on which he could make atonement for our sins. That righteousness he still possesses because he is inherent in his righteousness because he is God. But typically in Aaron has to remove those clothes that are linen and he has to put on these festal robes, because these festal robes or these robes of garments of glory and garments of beauty, Exodus 28:2, Exodus 28:4, Exodus 28:41. Exodus 29:21, Exodus 29:29, Leviticus 8:30 and Leviticus 21:10. It's mentioned. There is always the taking off of the linen garments and the putting in all these robes. These robes represented the fact that now Aaron is standing before the Lord in robes of what? Glory and? That is how he is representing the nation before God. That is how he is representing that nation before God. So we have in the book of Leviticus, in 16, verses 23 to 34, the two things we have. Number one, we have there the incarnation and we have the coronation. Christ came into this world, John 1:14, right? Word became flesh and dwelt amongst, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten, of full of grace and. Now it's not just grace and truth, now it is grace and glory. We were created for his pleasure. We were created for his what? Glory. So you have something beautiful here. Now listen to this. When four specific things are mentioned here. Number one, when he went into the Holy of Holies, first thing he did was he made atonement by presenting the blood on the mercy seat. Presented the blood on the mercy seat. Jesus Christ presented the blood in heaven when he went in Hebrews 9, 24, 26, 28. Presented the blood in heaven. Two, he established the altar of incense. He sprinkled the blood on the altar of incense. You will see it very clearly. The coals of fire were taken and incense was put on that fire and the altar of incense was sprinkled with blood. Establishing the altar of incense, which means intercession therefore, is upon the ground of the blood of the atonement. First, gone, taken the blood and put on the mercy seat, therefore who in the mercy seat, who is there? Nobody. There's no light, there's no sunlight, there's no light from the olives. No, there is nothing except the Shekinah glory is inside. He puts it there. That blood is for God to see. That blood there on the mercy seat is for God to see. Second, the blood on the altar of incense. Jesus Christ securing his ministry of intercession, which speaks of the altar of incense, on behalf of the atonement that is made. That is his present ministry in heaven that he is exercising on behalf of you and me. Praise him in this place. And everyone was quiet. That is why the believer does not need to live in condemnation, but he must have the sure conviction that even if he is in that state because of wrong choices that he makes, because our high priest is in garments of glory and beauty, it is typical of the fact that he wants us to believe that we are no longer going to live in that state, because we were not designed for that state. We are designed to live as conquerors, not as people that are condemned. So you have a group of people in prison, as Pastor Shibeli was saying, that are supporting missions in Africa. They have bought a couple of acres of farmland in Africa where the Africans have cattle and are growing things so they can feed the orphans of grace. Are these prisoners, hardcore prisoners, condemned to life, going to limit themselves because they are in prison as a result of what they have done? Or are they going to now begin to realize there is a person that represents us before the Father in heaven, who's clothed in garments of glory and beauty, that has taught us to be more than conquerors? Wait a minute. How can you say that you are more than a conqueror? You are in a prison. I am in a prison right here, but in my heart I am free. In heaven, when those guys stand at the bema seat of Jesus Christ, right? And they have to judicially pay for what they did because of the laws of the land. Imagine those guys standing before the judgment seat of Christ in heaven and receiving a specific reward as a result of not allowing something that he did on earth to take away from an eternal plan that God has for him in heaven from eternity past. When Emmanuel came back from Chickalinta, he brought a lot of chicky. When I first went there, they were more concerned about what I'm going to eat. I said, the meal plan will not determine the manner of the substance of the message. Because if you give me that kind of spice, I will be interceding for you the next 3 days. So just let's keep it simple here. Okay, so number one, atonement on the mercy seat, closing. Number two, altar of incense. The ministry of Christ at the right hand of the Father is secured on the basis of the atonement. The high priestly session of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven is on the basis of the atonement made. Therefore, you don't need any other mediator to represent you before God. Instead of you going to the palmist that sits with his tota, parrot, that pulls out that card from there, instead of him trying to find out what is written on that card, Jesus has you inscribed on the palm of his hands in heaven. Point number three. The scapegoat in Leviticus 16 that was sent into the place of no return by a strong man was typical of the fact, it reminded Israel that their sins were covered, if not blotted out, in the Old Testament. It was to give them the knowledge of the remission of their sins. You understand that? And then the last thing was, when the high priest came out and he put those garments of glory and beauty, It was to tell them that he is now therefore their true representative on the ground of the fact that that sacrifice was accepted, because when he came out with his sacrifice and he put those garments of glory, he offered an offering called the burnt offering. He offered it with the clothes of glory and beauty, and the burnt offering was a sweet smelling aroma unto God. And therefore it was typical or symbolic of the fact that not only were their sins paid for, but they have found acceptance, which was represented in the sweet smelling aroma of the burnt sacrifice. Now you say, all these things the Israelites understood? I don't know. But that is what they were supposed to know. That is why the psalmist said in Psalm 32, David said, blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not. Now, Old Testament sacrifices never blotted out sin in 10:1-4 of the book of Hebrews. It only what? Covered sin. It only, imagine some of us, we would go and open the lid and Mr. X's sin is there. Next day I go, oh my God, it's my sin. There's nothing there. Jeremiah 50:20. In those days, they will try to find out the sin of Judah and the sin of Israel. In those days. There are many people today that live their lives, filling their lives full of trying to find out what other people's sins are all about. In those days, they will try to find out, but those sins will not be there. There's a powerful verse in Jeremiah in Ezekiel 21:24. I'd like to read it to you. I don't want to miss it. And this is how the devil takes advantage of us deep down within. You know, when we talk about sin in our culture, in our country, people don't talk about sin. Everyone, Indians are good people. They have very high moral standards. Really? Okay, 21:24 of Ezekiel. Think about this. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, in that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your deeds your sins appear, because you have come to remembrance, you will be seized with the hand. Think about this. There is a kind of captivity into which a believer goes if he does not deal with what God has done in relationship to his life in Adam. If anybody in the room is by name Adam, not you. Think about what a powerful verse this is in Ezekiel 21:24. If I have brought to remembrance, I will be seized by the hand. That means I am going to experience bondage. Even though Christ came in 8:31 and 36 and 5:1 of Galatians and 5:13 to set me free. So he says of Israel in chapter 5 verse 7, what more can I do for my vineyard than I have already done? They were supposed to produce vintage grapes. When you go to France on a conference, European conference, it's okay. Wine is permissible. No. They will serve you that instead of water. You will say, I need water. It might take half an hour to come. Because out of the pipes there, wine comes, not water. Why are you waiting for water when wine is coming in the New Testament age of grace? Why are you going to wait for your provision that has to come or may not come when there is a provision already? Why am I going to work my way in order to feel forgiven when forgiveness is an absolute decree through the finished work? Because forgiveness is an absolute decree through the finished work, repentance is instantaneous to the believer. And so we have this amazing principle. The trumpet would sound on the year of Jubilee. On the 10th day of the 7th month. What is it? It was the day of atonement and the year of Jubilee, 50 years of Trump, the moment the trumpet sounded, if you were in any way in bondage, in subservient, a slave, owed money, in debt, that day, the slave and the master, he could be like the master himself. The master couldn't do a thing if you lived in the Jewish economy, because that day you would be free. The Day of Atonement and the Year of Jubilee coincided on the same day. That is the day where you would experience your freedom from anything that you were in bondage to. It says in the book of Numbers in the 35th chapter, in the 27th and 28th verse, we didn't read the 28th verse, that when a person fled from a scene wherein which he accidentally killed a man. It's like this. You have your axe, you're cutting a tree, the head of the axe flies off the handle and it hits the guy on his head. He's rushed to the hospital in an ambulance, and in an ambulance he dies. You killed a man. I didn't kill a man. I was cutting the tree. The axe head slipped off the handle and it went and it hit another guy that was standing there and he died. So it's called manslaughter. Now, of course, if he got injured, you know, you made sure that you took him to hospital or whatever it is. But there in that case, if he died, his relatives would come after you. And they would have the right to murder you, to kill you as capital punishment, unless you just took off from there, Bori and Bistar, and you just ran to one of the six cities of refuge, three on the east of the Jordan, three on the west of the Jordan. You just ran there. And you hit there, pleading, like, you know, this is manslaughter, and your case would be adjudicated in that place, whether you actually premeditated the murder. If you did, Genesis 9:6, go on, capital punishment. Or you were allowed to stay there till the death of the high priest, and when the high priest died, you would go home. It was called a city of refuge, six cities of refuge, three on the east, three on the west of the Jordan, six, number of men. We are in trouble. We don't have to figure out whether it is sins of ignorance or sins of omission or sins of commission. We just take off to that city, because in that city you are protected till your case has been adjudicated. And our case has been adjudicated by the Chief Justice. And the Chief Justice has adjudicated our case not on the verses of arbitration, but on the verses of a death that took place through the cross of His Son Jesus Christ. And therefore now says, you don't have to be worried if anyone is going to chase you or not, because you are going to be represented by a person who has garments of beauty and glory. And if you have trash on yourself, in Joshua, in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, 3 and 4, Joshua was clothed with garments of excrement. The words are filthy, excrement, garments of excrement. Now, if you stamp on cow dung and go home, it's okay. But if you stamp on something else and go home, there's a lot of smell. That is what Joshua was typically clothed in. And the angel of the Lord, Yahweh, says that, take off that garment of excrement and put on him festal robes, or robes of glory, because there is someone that is representing before the Father in heaven. That is why when the prodigal came home, it was not just a discount jacket from Raymond's. Huh? It is not from some thrift store somewhere that was worn once. And no, it was a specific garment that was never worn before, that was given to him because it typified the exact honor that he would have in relationship to who the Father was. That's why you and I are called ambassadors, because we represent a kingdom here on the earth. Therefore, you and I are called strangers, because even though we are in this world, and aliens and pilgrims, even though we are in this world, we are not of this. You understand what I'm saying? You do? Okay, I'll close. 11:30, I promise to close the messages. 35 minutes is sufficient, because the rest of you, I know, have to go to another service, to one of these restaurants outside. Okay. Think of this. I'll close with this. Jesus came. He said, if you continue in my, huh? Now, you can see Jesus film, you can see The Passion, you can see all the movies. They won't set you free. Nothing wrong with it. You, if you continue in my word, you will be a learner. You shall know the truth, and the truth will, unless you have solid dosage of what is in this book in relationship to the finished work, you cannot be delivered from yourself. And he said, if the Son has set you free, you are? Now here's an illustration. It's an illustration that I read. When a person commits a crime, say here's a person that committed a crime and he murdered someone, and that someone that he murdered was the family member of another person. That person could seek for revenge. It's called retribution. He could seek for revenge. That's one. Number two, he could allow the judicial system to deal with that individual person, and he would get justice that is due to him as a result of his crime. The third thing is a possibility where that person would give that individual person total pardon and forgiveness. Total pardon and? Not just give him total pardon and forgiveness, but make a decision to adopt that person who murdered another person in the family, his family, adopt that person and bring him as one into his own household. What is that? Huh? Grace. You and I were guilty of putting Jesus on the cross. What do you mean? I was not there 2,000 years ago. No, but my sins were there. So we are guilty. God did not sever us in that sense. In his perfect justice, he exercised a kind of penalty that was due from us, but he basically made sure that his Son paid for it. Now that we are delivered from the first point of divine retribution, we are delivered from the second point in terms of perfect justice. We are brought into the realm of grace, wherein which we are not just guilty for what we did, we are accepted for what he did. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is why pioneering missionary works happened. That is why pioneering missionary works. You know about that young American 26-year-old boy that went to the Andaman Nicobar Islands. Whatever he was going through, whatever excuses we may say, why this, why that, he just went in there and he was arrowed down by these tribal people in the Andaman Nicobar Islands because maybe he was led of God to go. And maybe his martyrdom will be an opportunity for God to open up the hearts of those people that are alienated from the gospel. We always want to focus on the loss. We do not want to look at the opportunity or the access that comes now as a result of it. The thorn is never a hindrance. In 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, the thorn is never a hindrance, neither is it a limitation. It is an opportunity for God to reveal his grace so that Paul can learn contentment in the plan and he can have an opportunity to glorify God in time. God does not want me and you, us, to bring our iniquity to remembrance. Don't connect present circumstances with past experiences. It has nothing to do with it. When you and I are confronted with things, we automatically and superstitiously connect them with past things, believing through the lie and the projection of the devil that can only attack a person whose conscience has not been cleansed by the blood, to cause him to think that God is after him like a hard taskmaster. He does not want the believer to recognize that there is a person in heaven at the right hand of the Father, seated in garments of glory and beauty, who's representing him before the Father in heaven, so that he would just not live his life merely as someone that is receiving his quota for the day, but he would live his life as more than a conqueror in time. I want you to stand up and tell your neighbor what I said in the last statement, because you are glued to your seats and it looks like the weather has taken a toll on your brain. Get up. I want you to tell that person what I just said in the last statement, and the message is over and you are dismissed. Don't go out of this room stoop down thinking about what's going to happen, the situations. All the things that God allows to happen is for a particular purpose, so that you and I will give credence to the fact that he has just not taken a place that is empty and vacant in heaven as if to say there are no chairs for him to sit. He has taken it at that place so you would take your place and your position here on the earth and run with it. I'm not a prosperity guy, but you are not to be preoccupied of your debt. You are to be concerned about where you're going to invest your surplus. Now, this prophecy is for some of you in the church. What is it? You are not to be preoccupied with how you are going to pay your debt. You are not to be preoccupied with how you are going to pay your debt. You are to be preoccupied with where you are going to invest your what? So we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus is saying, keep 12 baskets ready. People are looking at the 5 loaves of 2 fish and they're looking at the 5,000 people. And Jesus is saying, 12 baskets means 12 burial coffins for 12 disciples. Because of unbelief. That is what I got. I don't know. No! Don't drool over the past. Count your blessings. Sit down and say, I am not going to worry about my debt. Now God told me to think about how I'm going to invest my. That means there is a blessing coming your way. Be ready to receive it. Okay, Father, we thank you for this morning. Praise the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. We pray for Pastor Anil today. Quicken him. Lord, physically we pray for Joshua today. Just pray that you will touch him and heal him. We pray for Manoj, we pray for his eye, we pray for people that have afflictions here, some serious afflictions with different things. Lord, we pray. Our adversity, our infirmity, our affliction, all these things, you foreknow it, you allow it for some reason, so that we would grow in grace and knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are not under a curse, your people are never under a curse, but you've taken the curse and you've convert it into a blessing. So Father, we thank you this morning that you are exalted far above the heavens. You have passed through the heavens. You have defeated the demonic on the way. You disarmed them, the Bible says. You disarmed them like we take off our shirt. You disarmed them. You spoiled them. You made a public show of them. You humiliated them. And you took your place at the right hand of the Father. And you are there in garments of glory and beauty. And you are a true representation of who we are on the earth. Help us to realize what this means to our lives as ambassadors, as ministers of reconciliation in our lives, Father, we pray. So our confessions, our attitudes, our words, our method of lifestyle will be purely based upon who is representing us before the Father in heaven. If you are here today and you've never understood salvation in Christ, receive it as a gift. Say, Jesus, I want to be saved. I want to become a believer in you. I accept your shed blood for me on my behalf for my sins. I may be religious, I may go to church, I may go to religious places of worship. They cannot take away your sin. Only Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross of Calvary can take away your sin and give you the hope of eternal life. So say in your heart, Jesus, I believe you died for my sin, you shed your blood for me, give me eternal life as a gift and forgive me of my sin. I want to believe. I want to believe. You say that in your heart. You are saved from your sin for all eternity. So you can stand up and blow the trumpet. Whatever, I can't do it. On the Day of Atonement, because you are free. And if the Son has set you free, in Jesus' name, amen.